This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, May 28th, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nelly. Here's today's headlines. Guardrails for DPR. Lack of critical DEM support remains Farm Bill challenge and President's Export Council to meet next month. Garcia aims to set guardrails on DPR expansion. Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia of Coachella is proposing to set restrictions on a dramatic budget expansion at the Department of Pesticide Regulation. The Newsom administration wants to increase the mill fee on pesticide sales. After ag and environmental stakeholders raised alarms about a lack of accountability for DPR on the new spending, Garcia dropped the proposal into a policy bill to debate openly among lawmakers and lobbyists. Farm groups wanted more than verbal promises and urged Garcia to set firm timelines for registering new alternatives to pesticides on the chopping block. Garcia has run with that advice. Ahead of a floor vote, he amended AB 2113 to require DPR to set specific and publicly available timeframes for completing applications. He also dropped a provision that would have allowed DPR to raise the mill without legislative approval after it completed the initial three-year increase. Yet Garcia also heeded calls from environmental groups and set a requirement for DPR to complete reevaluations within 2 years. That is on top of existing requirements for reevaluating at least 5 ingredients per year starting in 2027. During floor debate this week, Garcia said the bill is still a work in progress, but all agree the need for more oversight and accountability with DPR's activities. Cotter, Congress has a long way to go on Farm Bill. One of D.C.'s most experienced veterans of farm policy says lawmakers are still far from the finish line on the new Farm Bill, despite House Ag Committee Chair Glenn Thompson's success in getting 4 Democratic votes for his legislation in a marathon markup last week. Getting some rank-and-file Democrat votes for a bill is not the same as having support of the senior Democrats on the House and Senate Ag Committees, says Chuck Connor, President and CEO of the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives. Connor led farm policy in the George W. Bush White House and later served as Deputy Agriculture Secretary. Connor says in an AgriPulse open mic interview, quote, "There's bipartisanship, and then there's bipartisanship among leaders of the House and the Senate that will ultimately be at the table when this bill is finished. Right now, those leaders are not on board with this bill and have no plans to do so." Cotter noted the House Ag Committee's ranking Democrat, David Scott of Georgia, was, quote, "extremely sharp in his criticism of the bill. They've got a long ways to go," Cotter added. Now keep in mind, Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York were actively involved in trying to keep Democrats united against the bill. The top Republican of the Senate Ag Committee, John Bozeman of Arkansas, is expected to release an outline of his farm bill proposal sometime after lawmakers return from this week's recess. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Imports filling the gap as demand outpaces U.S. aquaculture. Number of fish farms in the U.S. is declining even as consumer demand for fish and shellfish has boomed. That's according to a report from the USDA's Economic Research Service. U.S. aquaculture sales have continued to grow somewhat as the number of farms has declined, but consumption has increased even more, according to the report. per capita consumption for fish and shellfish grew by 31% from 2002 to 2021, up to 20.5 pounds. Meanwhile, the number of U.S. aquaculture farms declined to 2,932 in 2018, the latest year in the report. That's down from just over 4,300 in 2005. Sales from U.S. farms grew by 3% from 2013 to 2018, adjusted for inflation. Now keep in mind, imports are supporting Americans' growing appetite for seafood. Imports totaled $25.5 billion in 2023, Canada and Chile accounting for 14 and 13% of that, respectively. In other news, Commerce seeks members for Renewable Energy Advisory Committee. The International Trade Administration and the Department of Commerce is seeking nominations for the Renewable Energy and Energy Efficiency Advisory Committee. The panel's work will focus on technologies, equipment, and services to generate electricity, produce heat, and power vehicles from renewable sources such as solar, wind, biomass, hydropower, geothermal, and hydrogen, ITA says in a Federal Register notice. Non-fossil fuels that reduce carbon consumption, such as liquid biofuels and pellets, they're included within the committee's purview. The committee can include up to 30 members. Nominations are due by June 14th. Meeting on tap of Export Council. The White House today is announcing a meeting of the President's Export Council. The June 11 session will include a discussion of recommendations to expand exports and presentation of a report about a fact-finding trip by some members to Thailand in March. Land O'Lakes CEO Beth Ford is on that council. Viral particles found in one of 96 beef tissue samples tested. USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service has announced the detection of H5N1 viral particles in one of 96 beef tissue samples tested. But the agency says no meat from the cull dairy cattle entered the food supply. FSI has collected multiple tissues, including muscle samples from the diaphragm, at FSIS-inspected slaughter facilities from cull dairy cattle that have been condemned for systemic diseases, the agency says. The samples were then analyzed by the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. In the meantime, Michigan's Department of Agriculture and Rural Development has confirmed H5N1 in three more herds in the state, bringing the total in Michigan to 21 herds in 10 counties. USDA's National Veterinary Services Laboratories has yet to confirm the results for two of the herds. NVSL has now confirmed H5N1 in 63 herds in 9 states. South Dakota, where a herd was first identified with H5N1 on April 9th, has had 3 herds confirmed since May 17. Food Safety Watch, well, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that 109 people from 29 states have become ill from salmonella after touching or caring for backyard poultry. 33 people have been hospitalized, but so far no deaths have been reported. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, May 28th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.